Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. The Rahal Force Power Couple had a pretty good weekend. With all of NASCAR's convoluted rules, the Cup Series is still finishing races under caution. And I took Speedway Report to the Indianapolis 500 last week. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, June the 5th, 2017. From the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing. We are on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag at the top of the hour. Let's jump right into the Speedway Report Victory Lane lap as we cleared Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start to summer, not by the calendar, but let's get going with a real busy weekend of who won what, turning left, turning right, and a little bit of dirt. At the Monster Mile in Dover, Delaware, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race was won by, yeah, not too much of a long shot, Jimmy Johnson yesterday for his third win of the season, 11th career total at Dover, Delaware. Saturday's Xfinity Series race was won by Kyle Larson. Friday's truck race taken by Johnny Sauter. Well, with those three guys, we've had two out of three as guests here on this show. Guess which one of those we haven't snagged yet. Yeah, his initials rhyme with JJ. NASCAR's K&N Pro Series East Tour was in Memphis, Tennessee. Harrison Burton took the win there. The IndyCar made their way from the Indianapolis 500 to Detroit Belle Isle up in Michigan for the Grand Prix Duel in Detroit. Winner Saturday and winner Sunday, Mr. Graham Rahal swept both ends of the doubleheader, taking checkered flags 2 days in a row. Speaking of streaks, this is one of the best ones in motorsports. IMSA was the support class at Detroit as well on Saturday afternoon. Well, that Cadillac from Michael Shank Racing is still perfect in 2017. Ricky and Jordan Taylor won their fifth straight race. I'm sorry, not Michael Shank Racing. Duh, Taylor Racing. Yeah, I had a brain fade there. Was thinking of something else as far as racing goes. Anyway, Ricky and Jordan Taylor in their Cadillac are 5-for-5 in IMSA racing in 2017. Our friends with the Straight Line, NHRA, made their way up to New England and in Epping, New Hampshire. Top Fuel yesterday was won by Brittany Force. In Funny Car, Matt Hagen. And in Pro Stock, Erica Enders. We're going to delve into that NHRA IndyCar connection here shortly. The World of Outlaw Late Models raced Friday night in Tazewell, Tennessee. Shane Clanton was your winner there. The A-Main on Saturday night in Senoia, Georgia was won by Brandon Shepard. The World of Outlaw Sprints held their Jackson Nationals out in Jackson, Minnesota for a three-night run. Thursday night, the preliminary first night was won by Ian Madsen. His brother, Kerry, took down Friday night's A-Main. The big Saturday night, Jackson Nationals finale, $25,000, won by Brad Sweet. ARCA raced over the weekend in Elko, Minnesota. Austin Terrialt was the winner of the 250-lapper there. USAC Sprint Cars made their way a little bit west on Friday night in Greenwood, Nebraska. Tyler Courtney won the A-Main, and on Saturday, one of the Sprint Cars, gosh, one of the foundations of Sprint Car racing in Knoxville, Iowa, Justin Grant won the USAC Sprint feature there. Granville, Pennsylvania, Grandview, Pennsylvania. Yeah, we've been off for a few weeks. I'm a little bit jittery. Grandview, Pennsylvania got their small block modified show in on Saturday night. They've been faced with a lot of rainouts this year. Jeff Strunk won the feature there. We keep track of Grandview week to week on this show. And a favorite short track of ours, we're close to home in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, the Bowman Gray Stadium. Burt Myers won the 100-lap modified race there on Saturday night. Yes, he leads the championship standing so far for the mod squad at the Madhouse, the flat quarter mile there. All righty. Now, the hot topic today, well, we've got a few we want to get into here. Dover, Delaware, the finish. My question to you and all the race fans out there, what the hell was that? let's make a lot of rules. Let's stack this rule book with so many restart finish rules. We've got a phone book just for restarts so we can finish under green, give the fans what they want. Yet through all that, NASCAR can still get us to finish under caution. What the hell was that? Let's talk about that. Kyle Larson pretty much had a dominant day yesterday afternoon, led close to 5/8 of the race, 240, 250 laps of the 400, pretty much. Leading, comfortable margin, looking good, withstood some challenges from other guys over the afternoon. David Ragan blows the right front tire, pounds the wall with about two laps to go. We throw a caution, deservedly so. Let's set up a green-white checker. Now, there was mess to clean up from Reagan's crash. There's debris, probably put down some fluid from the engine, hitting usually breaks a line, oil cooler, stuff like that. We got a speedy dry all over the track. It looks, it looks like as soon as the cars run through it again, they look like they're blowing an engine. There's so much dust coming up off the track. Track is not clean whatsoever, not in the least. Anyway, on the restart, we come down for the green-white checker on the front stretch. Kyle Larson chooses the high line. Smart move. Fast way at Dover. Jimmy Johnson down low running in second position. Well, Larson does not get off to a good start. Neither does Jimmy Johnson, for that matter, but his start is better than Larson's. As Kyle Larson said, hey, we were both playing games with each other in the restart zone as far as when to go, when to break, and all that. You're a seven-time champion for a reason. You know how to play these games. The field roars through turns one and two, comes out on the backstretch. That's where they start to hit the speedy dry that's still down there. Not cleaned up well at all. Jimmy Johnson gets the best start as they roll through one and two. He's on the inside, clears Larson, moves up to the high side. When he heads down the backstretch, it looks like his engine is blowing up. There's so much dust coming out of the back from the speedy dry. You could tell Larson and the rest of the field just cracked the throttle a little bit. Ty Dillon, who's got a great run going in the Germain car, gets loose and crashes coming out of two. You've been to Dover. You've seen Dover. You know how it is. It's like a roller coaster funnel. This causes a pileup. We're, a lap and a half away from the checkered. We've got five, six, eight cars sliding, front clipped, rear clipped, all destroyed, rolling down the backstretch into turn three. Well, Jimmy Johnson cleared out. It was well past the restart line that we've been using for about two or three years now in the Cup Series. It's a line halfway or better down the backstretch, which NASCAR now uses. Instead of the three green-white checker attempts, we use this line. Those unfamiliar with the rule, evidently a lot of people were, but let's go over this sucker again. We get a two-lap sprint to the finish when we get into overtime. You throw the green, next time around the white, next time around the checkered. On the first lap under green, if the leader passes that line on the backstretch, that's considered a good restart. The next flag ends the race. The next flag on this one was the yellow when the leaders went into turn three before they took the white flag. This has been in use for several years now, a couple of years, two, three, I think. But we used to have the three try rule for the green white checker. This normally would have brought up before the restart rule. This normally would have brought up another shot at the green white checker. What this wound up doing is we had our one shot. That's considered a clean restart. We come around to take the white flag. There's the caution flag. Race is over. We're done. Okay, we had the green-white checker rule, which started, in the early 2000s, we had that to set up a green flag finish. We changed that how many years ago? I want to say two or three to this restart line rule because we kept having repeated attempts at a green-white checker. We'd get to these three attempts, which was NASCAR's maximum. Then you would have the last attempt would often end under caution, still with a crash in the checker flag. It was rough sledding, especially at Daytona and Talladega when the carnage just started. For this, I defend NASCAR on it because, one, my only point I need to make, no one in NASCAR officials is driving these cars. These crashes don't happen on accident. It's these drivers. If you are paid that kind of money and expect to be called the best stock car drivers in the world, you ought to be able to go two laps around any racetrack without crashing. You're unable to do that. So that part of this fault falls under the drivers, if you ask me. Now, bigger picture, do we have a good system? Do we have a good rule? My opinion, no. What did we see yesterday? I don't care. With all these rules we have, as I started off with my rant here, green, white, checker, phone book. We've got this restart rule phone book of rules and rules and regulations and procedures, all with the idea of giving race fans a green flag finish. 20 years ago, David Reagan popped the wall. The caution flag comes out. We just would have finished the race under caution. It would have happened that way. I'm glad we took that away and we finished races under green. Now, with all this mess and these rules and refined rules and this and that, and you need a scoreboard to tell what the rules are, what did we accomplish? Nothing. We've gone nowhere. We had advanced nothing. We finished a race under caution yesterday. ARCA simply has, you can just rely on their officials to look at the finish. We either finished a race under green or we did not finish a race under green. I can see where there's judgment calls come into play where the leaders are, say, on the final lap in turn 3 and 4. A back marker crashes in turn 2. You can send the leaders to the checkered flag under green, then throw the yellow. It's a judgment call as far as safety goes. I agree with that. However, we have all these regulations, and NASCAR feels a need to document, outline, define, name, put a rule up for absolutely every possible situation. Got to measure stuff and put lines and scoring loops and lights, and we don't need all this crap. Go back to simple short track racing. When you have a green-white checker finish such as that, one, you can use the scoring loops that you have, all this technology you got buried in the pavement and the concrete, or short track racing, go back to the last completed laps. I don't care personally as a race fan if we do 3 green-white checkers. I don't care as a race fan if we do 33 green-white checkers. Finish the race under green. I'm not mad at NASCAR if a race has multiple green-white checker finishes. As I said a few minutes ago, NASCAR officials are not driving these cars. As much as we criticize Brian France and Mike Helton, Robin Pemberton, that's fine if they're due criticism. None of those guys are driving these cars. So I don't want to hear any lip about multiple green-white checker attempts because of all these crashes. It's stupid. The drivers are the ones driving this. They're making the money. Put the blame and your bad feelings on them. They're the ones that cash the checks. They should be able to go around the racetrack a few more times. So I don't think we have a good system. I think we're trying to define too much with NASCAR. Simple call. You either finish a race under green or you did not. It doesn't have to be defined on paper. Where's the strike zone in baseball? I don't know. It's where the umpire puts it. It's as simple as that. You either finished a race under green or you finished it under yellow. Dover, you needed to re-rack them and you needed another restart for the fans yesterday. That's what I think. Let's talk about the winner a little bit. Jimmy Johnson, chasing 8th championship. What's he got now? Let's do some numbers on this guy, all right? 83 wins. Big win yesterday. Tied him with Cale Yarborough. Yeah, Cale Yarborough. One of the greatest to ever climb through the window of any race car ever. Johnson is a 7-time champion. Yeah, under playoff format. I understand that. So we ask, how good is this guy with his championships all under a chase or a playoff format? He's got 83 race wins, ties him with Cale Yarborough. Nice tribute for him and Cale yesterday, since Cale was Jimmy's guy when he was growing up. I thought that was kind of cool. How good is Jimmy Johnson? I think clearly he is one of the best of all time. Is he the best of all time? That's always going to be tough to say. I'll tell you what, let's back it up a little bit to the decades and decades of stock car racing. I always think it's kind of tough to compare drivers from different eras. When Dale Earnhardt tied Petty's mark of 7 championships, there were comparisons there. They raced in different times when the sport had evolved. The struggles and hurdles that Petty had to clear were not the same as the ones that Dale Earnhardt had to clear. And those are not the same that Jimmy Johnson has to clear. They're different. How good is Jimmy Johnson? Clearly a 100% NASCAR Hall of Famer. I think he can be mentioned in the same breath as Petty and Earnhardt. The problem I have with him, and I've said this before, is all of his championships are decided under a playoff-style format. I have tremendous respect for Jimmy Johnson. I have no respect for playoffs in auto racing. And I think that hurts Jimmy's image. I think it hurts his legacy. It certainly hurts my view of how I look at Johnson. I know darn well, and I fully admit, I do not give Johnson the credit he deserves because of the playoff-type format for a championship. I just don't put his seven titles up against anybody else's seven titles. I can't get over the playoff format and how bad it sucks for motorsports, how bad it sucks for NASCAR. It's not a good rate. It's not a good way to decide a championship. It's not a legitimate one. However, Johnson has won 83 races in this series, as much as Cale Yarborough. He's only about 10 behind Jeff Gordon, who is third on the all-time list behind Petty and David Pearson. Johnson is well on his way to dislodging Gordon in third, possibly Pearson in second. That has nothing to do with a playoff-type format. I know some of these things, Johnson has won championships by racing different. You race different in a 26 and race and 10 race season than you do a straight 36 race season. Could he have more wins? Quite possibly, because they know they sacrificed some races during those decades for the playoff style of format to do some testing. They've literally tested during a race knowing that they were locked into a playoff. Could he have won more races? Absolutely. But would he have seven championships? Maybe not if they had run a 36 race schedule. In other words, look at it from the other way. How many championships would he have without the playoffs? How many race wins would he have with the playoffs? That's tough to tell. We race differently with playoffs than we do a straight point championship. Johnson deserved all the respect, more respect than he's giving. He deserves more respect than I give him because I have a personal issue with the playoffs. But it's tough on him because he doesn't run the sport either. He's not NASCAR. He doesn't decide how he races for a championship. I feel bad for the guy. He gets booed a lot. He doesn't get the respect he deserves. But me personally, I'll admit, I can't put his seven next to Earnhardt, next to Petty. Can't do it. It's playoffs. Hopefully someday we'll wipe this out and go back to the Latford system. That's my hope for all this. I can't stand playoffs. I can't stand the chase. But Jimmy Johnson, as a race car driver, he deserves more respect than what I'm giving him. But I can't get over it because he won championships with playoffs. Is that his problem? No, it's my problem. And by the empty seats in NASCAR's grandstands, I say it's their problem too. Another type of racing, Graham Rahal in Detroit and Courtney Force in New Hampshire. Why do I mention? Well, they're kind of like the auto racing power couple. Been married a few years, an IndyCar driver married to a Funny Car driver. And we came so close to having the husband and wife share victory lane on the same weekend in two different cities. Graham Rahal did an outstanding job as the IndyCars moved to their race after the Indy 500, moved up to the duel in Detroit where they ran on the park in Detroit Belle Isle. They ran a doubleheader, complete qualifying and race on Saturday, complete qualifying and race on Sunday. Graham Rahal, boom, won them both. Checkered flag Saturday, checkered flag Sunday, stands atop the podium. Courtney Force, his beautiful wife, so close. She made it to the finals up in New England, lost to Matt Hagen in the final round. How cool would that have been to have the power couple in victory lane in two different places, two different cities? When they have weeks off, they both visit each other's racetrack, support each other, and when they win, they're in victory lane. I think it's a wonderful thing. But we came so close to having that. That would have been a cool sidebar to write. That would have been a very cool one to have Rahal and Force both win. But not to be. We'll move on. I got to feel that some way, somehow, that will happen someday. The odds are long in it because winning one of these races is so tough in IndyCar or NHRA. But to do it on the same weekend, the stars got to line up just right. Yeah, pretty close this past weekend. I was up in Indianapolis for the 500 over Memorial Day weekend. Good time. Always up there. Speedway Report did. We tried to represent Racers Reunion and Speedway Report well. I was very impressed with Fernando Alonso. I was had the impression of a Formula One guy coming over here, not embracing all of the media and public and fan contact that these guys have up in Indianapolis. Fernando seemed to take like that to a duck to water. He embraced the fans, embraced the media, and he certainly embraced an oval on his first shot there. First oval race, first rolling start, live pit stops like that. He embraced all of that pretty well. The restarts he was a little weak on. I'll touch on that more in the future. I'm kind of writing a piece on Fernando a little bit more involved and a little in-depth that we could just point out here on the radio show. Speedway Report did proudly take home 5 awards from the American Auto Racing Writers and Broadcasters Association this year. We were informed Saturday, the day before the Indy 500 in the Media Center. Give you the rundown here. The website won first place in the feature report category. The story was called Alexis DeGioia is a Serious NHRA Racer and a Whole Lot More. It's an interview I had with Alexis. First place among online columns was Gimmicks Hurt NASCAR All-Star Race from last season. Second place for Deadline News, rookie Alexander Rossi upsets the 100th Indianapolis 500 field. And third place among the blog category is Rubin is Not Racing. Those 4 stories, yep, I don't like to toot my horn too much, but I wrote all of them, so we won some awards there. Best work of all goes to Jeff Gilder, Racers Reunion, and everybody at Myrtle Beach. SpeedwayReport.com was the first place winner in the auto racing website category. So if you would like to go to SpeedwayReport.com, you can check out. I put a story about the story I just told you. All the links are there if you want to check out what we did up in Indianapolis. Had a good time up there, and like I said, I'm working on a piece about Fernando Alonso. Fascinating character. Other than Juan Pablo Montoya, really the only Formula One guy I've ever met. Montoya was already racing NASCAR when I had the chance to meet him. This was a legit F1 guy. Took time out from his schedule to come run the Indy 500. Cool, calm, collected fella. I found him a very fascinating individual. More on that on SpeedwayReport.com. But in between our broadcasts, go to our website and you can keep up on the world of auto racing. If you want to check out everything I covered up in Indianapolis, in-depth look at the 500, carb day, pit stop contest, all that good stuff, Indy Lights race, check out our website, SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN. And RacersReunion.com for the outstanding production work tonight. Thanks for everyone in the Racers Reunion chat room for tuning in. Good to be part of your family. I get the notifications that you guys are chatting. I do see the messages. I just don't have time to type back because, well, I'm talking to you. If you tuned in late tonight, you're just picking up us, our signal now, and you tuned in late, we can be viewed on demand at SpeedwayReport.com, RacersReunion.com, and on the Speedway Report Facebook page, as well as all of our shows are archived. I want to thank all of the military past and present for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, don't go anywhere because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com and their special guest tonight, Joey Haas. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at SpeedwayPat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back next Monday with news from NASCAR Cup at Pocono, trucks and IndyCars at Texas, the dream from Eldora, and NHRA in Englishtown. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night, everybody.